Well, thank you, drama team, kitchen crew. And I know a lot of you were doubters about whether I could do pancakes or not. So hopefully you enjoyed those. So, but anyone besides me like breakfast for dinner? I mean, I'm serious. My daughter, it's such comfort food for me. My daughter will sometimes, often, not just Saturday morning, but in the evening, say, "Hey, Dad, would you cook pancakes?" So that is Aunt Susie's secret pancake recipe. So, but it's not entirely secret. Well, it's interesting because there's lots of things recorded about Jesus, but so far as I know, this is the only instance of which Jesus is cooking. Jesus could be in the kitchen, and all the ladies said,
"Amen."
Oh my gosh! And all the Jesus could cook in the kitchen, and all the ladies said,
"Amen."
And actually, it wasn't the kitchen, but grilling outside, but close enough. Jesus was cooking, and breakfast on the beach. So let me read the story from John chapter 21. After Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, have you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say that, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with the fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. So Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Then Jesus took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "You know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said, "Follow me." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, not only is this breakfast, for breakfast actually, but there's something else that I love about this, which is just the whole setting. Anyone, any Andy Mayberry fans? Yeah, you got to go back. Yeah. I don't know if you go down to the Mayberry Diner, but one of the things you'd see regularly in the show, and I forget who all had it, but remember they go to the door and there would be a sign on there. You remember what it said? "Gone fishing." Gone fishing. That was a regular thing. So I like that because it's sort of part of this story. And just to walk back into this, as you know, Jesus predicted that Peter would deny him not once, but three times. And Peter did exactly that, even though Peter said, "I'll never deny you, no matter what happens." And you can only imagine that Peter felt incredibly crushed by his failure that was known not just to himself, but to all of his closest friends, the disciples. And despite the resurrection of Jesus and the jubilation and Peter being overwhelmed, we see this moment in Peter's life where he had to just be overcome by a sense of failure, right? And so I think he probably put on his door gone fishing, right? Peter was originally a fisherman. Peter, James, and John, and a number of the other ones were fishermen. So Peter was going back to what he did originally. Not just sort of recreation, but for Peter, it was his old job, right? He felt like he had failed as a disciple, and he could celebrate the resurrection, but maybe he wasn't worthy of ministry. And not only did he fail as a disciple, but guess what else? They fished all night, and the professional fishermen caught nothing. Talk about, you know, adding just a sense of shame to it all. And so Peter just had to feel like a failure. But here's what I like about this. You notice what his friends did? They went with him. Do you ever have a friend, you feel like you have failed and fallen short, and you just want to go away and do something? They say, we're going to go with you. It doesn't matter what you're going to do. We're going to go with you and make sure that you're okay. And I think that's a great lesson for all of us. Because all of us will have friends that will fail and fall short. And what you need most, other than the Lord, is friends who are believers, who are there with you, and then the Lord. And so they're there, and Jesus appears and calls to them to throw their nets on the other side, right? And then all of a sudden, there's a catch of fish. But I want to just pause for a moment. Now, along this way, I've challenged you with a series. If you've kept them all, this is a really good series, not just for Lent, but in your life. And I've challenged you to do not homework, but hard work, okay? To go and to fill this out if you don't do it in the evening. Yes, thank you. Gabriel, you're on the money. Thank you, buddy. He's going to pass out the pens and pencils for us.
Thank you.
And these little reflection periods you can do in the morning devotions as well as right now, or your evening before you go to bed. But the first thing is, where are you spiritually and emotionally hungry? We said that a number of times. And I think it's great to gather around the table and to fellowship with Christians. But I think we're not only sharing bread and whatever the meal is today, breakfast for dinner, but the fellowship feeds and nurtures our soul. And that's so important. But where are you spiritually and emotionally hungry? And then where do you feel you've failed and fallen short? I mean, all of us have, more than once, right? Maybe more than three times, like Peter. So think about that for a moment. And then the beautiful thing here is Jesus not only makes breakfast, so he has them come. They recognize him once they're catching fish. They're like, oh, yeah, we've been through this before. Peter doesn't even wait for the boat to go ashore. He jumps in the water about 100 yards and swims to Jesus. And Jesus already has some breakfast there. Now, for us, I like pancakes, scrambled eggs, that sort of thing. But for them, a lot of people like fish. I have a friend that loves fish for breakfast. You know, he likes to go out and catch fish early in the morning and do it. And I cheer him on. It's not me. But for them, you know, fishermen, fish, nice crispy fish, and home-cooked bread is a great breakfast. And so they gathered around the fire and enjoyed that. And it reminds me, too, that sometimes we need to be nourished physically before we can nourish spiritually. What's the order of the Lord's Prayer, by the way? Give us this day our daily bread, then forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Many times, we're just human. We can't focus on the spiritual until we get some physical nourishment, right? So think about that as we sort of minister to each other. And then Jesus forgives, and it's a beautiful moment because when they're all done and sort of leaning back, Jesus looks at Peter and says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Meaning the fish, not just the breakfast, right? Great breakfast. No, it meant the career that he had gone away from, the fishing. You know, you've left being a fisherman to be a fisher of men, the calling of a disciple. And so Peter said in front of everybody, Lord, you know, I love you. And then Jesus said, then feed my lambs, right? Which is a metaphor for being a shepherd. As Jesus said, I am a good shepherd. And so these disciples were shepherds too. And then Jesus looked at Peter again. He said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And Peter again said, Lord, you know I love you. And then Jesus again said, then feed my sheep. And with that not enough, then Jesus looked at Peter a third time and said, Peter, do you love me more than these? And it says that Peter just sort of broke down a little bit in that moment because of the weight of the Lord's calling on him and sort of pressing him with that he really loved him. And Peter said, you know I love you, Lord. And then Jesus said, feed my sheep. And Jesus, as if for every time that Peter denied him, Jesus offered him not just a word of forgiveness, but restoration in his ministry. And I think that meant so much, and he did it publicly in front of the other ones. So he wasn't just putting Peter on the spot. He was also reassuring him in front of the other disciples and calling him. And so I wonder in your life where you need forgiveness and grace. That's the third question there. Where do you need to hear Jesus' reassurance of forgiveness? And then the words, where do you need words of restoration? Where do you need words of restoration with where you are right now? Maybe you've fallen short, or maybe there's something that God has called you to. Maybe just not just forgiveness, but restoration and where you're going in your path of discipleship. And then finally, Jesus calls him into the future. Not just his ministry, but Jesus says, you won't decide where you're going to go in your future. Someone's going to tell you where to dress, where to go. And Peter responds to that. And it's sometimes confusing sometimes, but I think when I think about that sometimes, I think so often of my nephew is in the Navy, he's in the SEALs, and he doesn't decide what he's going to wear that day in the uniform when he's on duty. Then he gets a little note that says, this is the uniform of the day. UOD is this. And he doesn't decide where he's going to go. And the reason is because he wants to be the best of the best. He wants to be willing to give everything he can so he can protect and he can serve his country and make the world a better place. And he's willing to do it to the level that he's willing to give up all those kinds of things that you and I take for granted. But it's nothing to them, him and the other people like that, to say, I don't care about what uniform I'm wearing today, and I don't care where I'm going, I just want to be the best person I can be and give everything that I've got. And I think as you and I, who are called to be disciples, even as Peter is called, we have that kind of a job too. And it may not be the same as Peter's, but sometimes we can do amazing things. I'm going to close with a couple of thoughts. One is that a friend of mine went through a tragedy in her life, and you may know her, Sally Downing Miller. She's a great person, does a lot of grief care, but she lost her husband and when she was just a young mother and was left with a young boy and young daughter, and it was so difficult for her. She was just crushed because it happened so fast, and they were so early in life. Later on in life, where she married Will Miller, who's a good friend of mine too, but she had someone else who went through a tragedy and felt a sense of failure. There was a loss of life, and they just kind of lost it. And she recalls she didn't really know the words to say, but she decided what she was going to do. And there in the hospital was she was going to make fresh coffee and cinnamon rolls, right? And so, you know, homemade cinnamon rolls and fresh coffee. And so she walked into the room, and just the smell of cinnamon rolls in the morning and coffee, and started to share that with this individual. And of course, they sort of just broke down, but they nourished themselves physically, and then they were able to talk about the deep things that were going on in their life. It didn't solve anything, but it became not only a ministry moment to that individual, but Sally discovered a ministry for herself. Through her loss, became a ministry. She wrote a book on grief. She's done a lot of work on grief for people, and the pain that she went through became a ministry that she gives to others. And one of the things she does is to realize that the food, not just the smell, but the taste and sharing that together is a bond. And when we feel our bodies being nourished, then our spirit becomes nourished and begins to heal as well. So I think God uses our failure, even as Jesus used the failure of Peter, not only to reassure him of forgiveness so we could all see that, but also to restore his ministry and set an example for us too. So today, not just breakfast, but seeing Jesus willing to be a servant who's willing to make breakfast and also to minister in the moment. Where is God calling you into the future? Sometimes cinnamon buns and coffee is a ministry if you're willing to give of yourself and to listen and to care and to share. And so many other kinds of things. Next week, we will look at the Last Supper, and we won't have a meal, but we will have communion. It will be upstairs when Jesus shares. I know this is jumping forward, but that's kind of the way we need to arrange it. I hope that you have seen a glimpse of Jesus that is different than just the teaching ministry and just the miracles as Jesus shares himself around the table with so many people. I hope you will take time in the course of the next week, maybe, to review all of the sheets and to dive deeper, to ask yourself some questions and to see the Lord more clearly around the table, but more importantly, to hear the Lord's voice and call at you in a special way. Would you join me in prayer? Lord, we thank you for this time when we have shared around the table, not just with each other, but as you, even as you broke bread with the people of your day and shared your life with them. So we pray your blessing on us as we continue to love and serve you in Christ's name. And all God's people said,
Amen.